We've imparted upon you a great deal of knowledge during the last 12 years. Some of you 13, some of you longer. But as I review my lifetime of joyous occasions and things I'd rather forget, there were a great many things that my family, teachers, and peers forgot to tell me along the way. So I'm hoping that a little bit of what I say to you today, you'll have it stick with you. I wish that someone had told me that my rather idyllic childhood would be the most stress-free period of my life. We worked hard as kids, most Midwestern farm kids do. But it's a good thing for what was to come that I learned how to work. Oh sure, I had a mean older sister, the overworked and too busy parents, and the obnoxious relatives. But the loving grandmother made up for all those things until one unforgettable day, she died. Nobody told me at 15 years of age what would happen when I needed her the most. I wish that someone had told me that the grieving process is different for different people. And I went from a carefree preteen with bangs and a ponytail, head straight across my brow to a wild child. A teenager overnight who wrecked not one, but two cars. My father was a very patient person, otherwise he would have strangled me right then and been done with it. Some of you who have crossed my path often wonder how I could relate to your situations. Well, let me tell you, many of us here today have experienced what you have, and even more so. However, my story is just beginning. The worst thing that happened after Granny died, my parents sold that idyllic farm where I'd spent so much time and moved me lock, stock, and all my 45 records to a remote location. You don't know what 45 records are, do you? Well, I had quite a collection. And I went from a graduating class of 500 where I was going to take physiology to a small, rural, rundown building in the middle of nowhere with a class of 42, where the counselor slash math teacher slash assistant principal asked me how many study halls I wanted and did I want to take band or be a cheerleader. Neither of which appealed to me at the time, so I found other things to do. No one told me that you could get pregnant at 17, even when you thought you were just fooling around. And in that day and age, you got married, whether you cared about each other or not. No one told me that you could get pregnant again without even trying. Maybe not without trying. But it's true that the immature can conceive and produce offspring. Sometimes I'm surprised that they're both still alive today. Not only had I never done any babysitting when I became a mom, but when she contracted chickenpox, I thought that was just normal red spots that every kid got. No one ever told me that when you stop working on a relationship, the relationship stops too. This is an important point. When considering spouses and friends and colleagues and people you trust, everything, and I mean everything you value today, in your future will require work. Maybe not the physical kind, but certainly mental and emotional effort. No one ever told me when I was not much older than you are now that I would be working one, sometimes two jobs, caring for two, not just one children, by myself, and returning so often to school that I forgot how many credits I had or how much tuition I paid. I take part of that back. I had very supportive parents. I have friends who are still friends today, some 67 years later. Neighbors, colleagues, professors, and lovers. No one ever told me that spaghetti was a staple food group. You could make it nearly every day. It was cheap and cooked quickly. Learning how to boil water is very important. No one told me that if you turn the stove on high and walk away, it could start a fire if not washed. No one ever told me that clothes had to be washed so often, that the apartment needed to be cleaned before your parents arrived, and that cars could run out of gas and get stuck on the ice. Do you know that it's nearly impossible to move a car off a slab of ice by yourself without someone to drive and someone to push, and no, you can't use your six-year-old as the driver? Maybe that's not an important fact for you to know, but someday when you're in situations like mine, you'll remember. I'm here to tell you now, your education's not over. I had 45 junior high school students with special needs in a school of 1,100 and a district of 60,000 in my first teaching position. I was 23 years old. The principal, who I think I drove to an early retirement, had never had a special ed class in his building. So even though he was a nice guy, he was no help at all. The students in my room ranged from really pretty crazy, that's a term we don't use today, to physically handicapped. I knew about crazy, but not any physical disability. So I went back to school, and back to school, and back to school, until I found out I was pretty good at it. I proudly stand here today with 43 years of experience as an educator and a 4.0 PhD. And if I can do that, so can you. Schooling quite easily is, frankly, quite easily the thing you'll easiest thing you'll ever do. For some of you who found out yesterday that you were actually graduating today, that may sound like nonsense. What's that woman know who walks the halls and acts like she knows what she's doing? But in 5 years, when you get a call to come back to your high school reunion, you'll know what I mean then. I moved around some, but made certain that my growing children had the best educational opportunities they could have. Academics, art, music, sports, and most importantly, lifelong friends. We never had a lot of money, but we kind of grew up together. I worked a lot, like my parents had done, but I never missed a football game, a track meet, a baseball game, or a band concert. It wasn't important that I understand all those things and all those events, but it was important to be there. I guess I encouraged, or should I say badgered, or threatened my children to go to school as well. It worked in both cases. My daughter is currently the vice president of a large pharmaceutical firm north of Chicago, and with every promotion she earned in the past 26 years, I've asked her, what's next? What's your dream now? My son is the vice president of a banking firm in Southern California. He majored in football and women. With four children of his own, he's busy enough without his mom asking, what's next? But his answer is always, survival. They both have strong, loving relationships with their spouses, their children. No, it isn't all roses, but they're doing well. And I'll have the privilege of attending my grandson's graduation next week. I'm going to ask him the same question I ask you now. What's next? And so I ask you, what's your dream? How can we help you get there? What can we do for you as you leave us to make your dreams come true? Your generation will hold three or four or more different occupations in your lifetime. You'll move away from Ketchikan, a place you may not like right now, but we'll have what we have here, our values in the years to come. You'll fall in love, you'll have children, and you'll send them to school someday. Some of you will get yourselves into trouble. Some of you already have. But you'll survive. Hopefully you won't know about war or disasters, but you'll know no one knows about the future, and that's probably good. I've spoken about things that I wasn't taught, but here's a list of things that at least your parents can relate to. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're gonna kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning in here. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm gonna knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me about logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me about more logic. If you fall off the dock and crack your head, you're not gonna come to the store with me. My mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me about irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You're still gonna sit there until all that spinach is gone. My mother taught me about the weather. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. My mother taught me about receiving. Yes, you're gonna get it again when your father finds out what you've done. My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're gonna stick that way. My mother taught me about ESP. Put your sweater on, don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me about humor. Actually, my father taught me about humor. When the lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. And my personal favorite, my mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. And finally, a little leaning on a great speechwriter and orator, which I am neither. Few will remember what we say here today, but many will remember what you've earned here, your high school diploma. May I be a first in a long, long, long line of family, teachers, and friends to wish you congratulations, class of 2014.